Welcome back to another episode of What's Up, Prof.
Hi,
hello,
Martin.
Walter. Yeah, well, today we are again looking at current events.
Did you woke up this morning?
I woke up, but to something different.
Okay, all right. I hope we're not too woke, yeah.
So let's ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and help us in this discussion, that we can be awake.
Let's be awake to woke.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for blessing us, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to do these discussions. We once again ask you to please enlighten our minds with the Holy Spirit. Guide our minds and enlighten everything that we have to put through, give through to the viewers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. To think that they even think up terminology like woke.
Yeah.
To describe a situation,
it sounds,
or a thought pattern.
Yeah, it sounds like the Enlightenment era.
Yes, and you can't believe that something as ludicrous can take place.
But so, if you, just to say, when the Enlightenment era came, man was put higher. His thoughts. It's the same with this woke thing.
But you know, Martin, if you go back into the Bible and you read what Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun.
No.
Wasn't Sodom and Gomorrah woke?
Exactly.
Weren't the Israelites and the tribe of Benjamin woke? Mm-hmm. So that eventually there were only 600 of them left. And they only found one town that didn't participate in the chastisement of Benjamin.
Yeah.
And they only got 400 young ladies out there, and they needed 600. And then they needed to steal another 200 so that the tribe wouldn't disappear. And how many thousands and thousands of people died in order for this problem to be solved? I think we are heading for a terrible time of shaking.
Yeah, exactly, because the wokeness didn't escape Israel, so it means it won't escape the church.
It won't escape the church either. It will spill over into the church. Now, it's going to be a big deal outside of the church. Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't that outside of the church.
Exactly, yes.
So it happened there, and Lot and his family were well entrenched, mm-hmm. so that most of them didn't want to even budge, but rather died in that city or in those cities. But within the church itself, it seems that everything was not too acceptable. You know, even Lot's daughters, they were pretty woke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had some pretty weird ideas. And so it eventually spills over even into the church. And when the Israelites went to chastise Benjamin, the Lord first permitted that the others were also chastised. Thousands upon thousands in Judah died and in the other tribes died. And the Lord weeded out the wokeness until they were of one mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what must happen in the church. But we're going to not talk about the church today.
No, we first.
We're going to look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to look at the world first, right?
And then you will know if these things start creeping into the church.
Then let's shout, Benjamin, beware! Benjamin, beware! And the whole of Benjamin didn't want to hand over those criminals because they identified with them.
Mm. Yeah.
So beware that you don't identify. And let's just
keep
a little bit typological before we start this thing. So you've titled it Grammys, Super Bowl, Politics and Christian Unity. And the reason why you have all of these things is to swing the pendulum. Hmm? So
you see,
you put in all the buzzwords there, right?
Yeah, that's it. And now there are true Christian unity, and unfortunately there's a false Christian unity as well.
Yes.
So that's actually the one that's meant in the description.
Of course, of course. Well, the world is going more and more liberal. I don't know whether you can classify this quite as woke, but it's all part of it. the liberalization of the thinking patterns of the world.
Well, if you take the one part of wokeness, the transgender LGBTQ, this, the drug world and the love world and all of this.
It's part of it.
It's part of it. So obviously it's part of the woke movement.
Now, this. I know that our viewers probably know, but you were pretty much in that world before you became a nerd.
Yeah.
And you and your wife were DJs at underground rave parties, mm-hmm. and that drug scene was very much part of it. And of course, it doesn't stay with the drug scene; it goes with the other scene as well, yeah. where everything goes. And whether it is gender or whether it is transgender, eventually the distinctions become so blurred. There's nothing.
The thing is, there's one thing that you also hear these days a lot. It's the word love.
Yes.
You had the love parade. All of these, especially the electronic dance scene, is a lot about love. But that is, like we've said, the distortion.
It's not love, it's licentiousness.
Exactly.
So, Martin, are you burnt? Are you a brand plucked from the fire?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we all are. Well, so we are all damaged goods, but I'm glad you're sitting here today.
I am thankful to God that he didn't give up.
That he didn't give up. All right, so here's an article which says that Vancouver embarks on bold experiment to decriminalize hard drugs. It first started with marijuana, weed, and then eventually you decriminalize that, and then you move on to the next one, and all the hallucinogens are becoming legal, because basically we're living in a meta world, so why not create even a meta body to adapt to
a meta
world?
To have the reality to coexist with the virtual. Yeah. But I just want to also say, yeah, you see, once again, okay, not particularly all these hard drugs, but the marijuana, for instance. Once again, something, and I've always said this is for me a problem, when you start getting medical terms and all of these things to justify why you can do sin.
Yes.
So, for instance,
it's medicinal to do sin eventually.
Exactly. Now, it's either medicinal or it's good for your depression. You see? It's,
and a glass of wine, too. It's good for your heart, so they claim. But the evidence speaks to the contrary.
Doctors claimed in the 50s that smoking is good for your lungs.
Exactly. So that's where it starts. And if you think of all the drugs that are actually legal, like caffeine, for example, or theobromine, which you find in cocoa products, and chocolates. These are all legal drugs.
Yeah,
let's
narcotics.
Call them by the name. They're narcotics.
Yes.
But they're the first step. And then you move on to the next one and the next one and the next
and
one.
And you know what? Eventually, if you ask anybody that was addicted to any of the hard drugs,
I don't know anybody,
I know a few. Well, in any case, if you ask them, if they come off this, what is the first thing you go to? It's the legal ones.
The legal ones.
Either they don't even know they're addicted to the caffeine or to the theobromine.
Yes.
When I became a Seventh Adventist, I stopped drinking alcohol. The first thing I grabbed was Coca-Cola.
Of course.
And I didn't even realize it. Why? Because there's a reason. Caffeine is addictive.
Yes.
And one a day, two a day, if you can't leave it, if you can't let go of it, then it's an addiction.
That's absolutely what it is. So anyway, 4 years after legalizing recreational marijuana, Canada will again display its progressive drug policy bona fides on January the 31st when a law to decriminalize the personal possession of hard drugs in British Columbia takes effect. The province will no longer criminally persecute adults age 18 and over were caught with less than 2.5 grams of hard drugs, including heroin, morphine, fentanyl, cocaine. Martin, what's the matter with them? Well, it's sign of the times. That which is unacceptable in the word becomes acceptable to society. And of course, the word will have to be put aside. Soon they will have to criminalize the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they did with, for example, the LGBT movement. In Canada, if you even quote those verses in the Bible, you can get into serious trouble. So they always said, you know, when they asked me, how do you feel about the things? And then I would say, probably the same like God feels about them. And
<That's>
and they would say,
answer.
How does God feel about them? I said, you have the resources. Go and read it for yourself.
Yeah.
That's the way I got around it. Instead, they will be offered information on social programs and treating if they request it. So the experiment will last for 3 years. I hope that when the experiment is over, the world will be over as well.
I also hope so.
Let's hope so. So, and it follows a move that was also done in Portugal. Mm-hmm. It was the first country to decriminalize hard drugs in 2001, and the U.S. state of Oregon, which did so in 2020. Yet tourists are often shocked to see alleys close to some of the main shopping areas filled with heroin addicts. Now, I was in British Columbia many times. And when you walk through the CBD area, downtown Vancouver, everywhere you find needles. Mm. And they have specific places, like little monuments or something where they sit. Everything is packed with needles on the floor. It's absolutely horrendous. And you walk past some of these faces. They are so spaced out. Mm-hmm. The eyes are totally empty. And you wonder to yourself, is that what humanity is all about? Emptiness? Whereas God says, I have come to give you life to the full.
Yeah.
These things promise you a life of emptiness, suffering, and eventually death.
Yeah, so sad.
And they decriminalize it. Well, it's part of the signs of the times, so we shouldn't complain. Mm. Fortunately, this experiment will only run for 3 years, and hopefully the Lord will end it then for them.
But do you think this type of things can also lead to what we are actually talking about here, this pendulum, to a more driven people want to get rid of this?
Well, you'll have parents that will see the effects on the children. Some parents, of course, encourage their children because they are themselves hooked. But there is still a large core that realize there's something inherently wrong in all of this. And eventually the pressure, when they see the results and the destroyed lives, where people will say, this has gone far enough.
I think so, because if you listen to how the religious people, the religious right, for instance, are talking, this is one of the things that's really riling them up.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, let's see where it goes. We don't want to advertise what the world is doing, but it's so in the face now already that we might as well talk about some of these issues. So, Martin, if we look at what happened in the Grammys, the performances that were there that were lauded as the greatest achievements and received the prizes and the accolades. And it was all about transgenderism and all of these issues to make it popular.
Yeah.
So it really reminds me of the state of affairs of some of those people in Sodom and Gomorrah and the Benjamites.
Exactly. The Bible is so accurate.
Yes.
When it says, as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot.
I think Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all of these books must be incredibly unpopular.
Oh, yes.
Huh?
Oh, yes.
Leviticus 18, 19, 20, 21. if people were to read that and compare it to the woke area, it would read like a who's who. Well, let's see what happened at the Grammys. We won't show it all, just a little bit, and then we'll have a talk about it.
Earlier in the night, the pair won Best Pop Duo Group Performance for their hit song, Unholy. And while accepting the award, Kim was so excited to make history as the first transgender woman to win in the category.
Sam graciously wanted me to accept this award because I'm the first transgender woman to win this award.
A stage in a cage surrounded by dancers with whips. Sam rocked a bright red top hat with horns while belting out the song for the audience, and the crowd went wild for their performance.
Well, we don't have to show more.
No, it's better not to.
Yeah, better not to. We don't want to glorify them. It's interesting, they wear the red and they wear the horns,
so
they have no qualms about showing the satanistic origin of their thinking patterns.
Yeah, and you must remember, there's no age restriction on the Grammys.
Yes.
So kids and everything are watching this. Now, I've also looked at a few comments on this, and especially people that want that promotes this. And people were writing against, okay, they were not satisfied in how openly satanic this was. And the people for this said, but why? This is just art.
This is not art. This is, according to the scripture, this is an abomination. Yeah. And let's not even talk about that a man may not wear what pertains to a woman, etc., etc. So it's just a mindset. Now, we have consistently said we are not on soapboxes.
No.
We are observers, right?
We are trying to see where this is leading.
Yes, not getting into the nitty-gritty as to why and wherefore and how wrong it is, etc. That's a soapbox.
And everything is there in the Bible in any case. So it's,
we're just taking a step back and saying, okay, where is this leading? Why is it now so in your face? It is to rouse certain sensibilities. The Bible says the wicked will do wickedly, and the others will be disgusted. And this divide is becoming greater, right?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's rubbing.
Will it eventually come to a point of clash? The Bible says yes. King of the north, king of the south will come to a clash, even if they sit at the same table. So on the one side, you have those that stand for the woke agenda. And of course, the current administration is in the United States is largely on that side of the agenda. And then in the background, you have those that are opposed to it. And of course, Governor Ron DeSantis is one of those who's quite vocal in this sphere. And his popularity is soaring.
Yes, he's actually maybe becoming a rival for Trump.
It could be. Let's see where this leads. I see Trump has all kinds of nicknames for him and making jokes about him. It's all part of a game.
Oh, yes.
They do this thing in Davos. They're doing it next week. All these elites come in, the World Economic Forum, and basically, their vision is they run everything and everybody else is just like a serf, like a peasant. They say they're going after energy, ESG, all these other things. And you see the Biden administration wants to nix gas stoves. Are you kidding me? Like, I want gas stoves. I mean, imagine how many people had the hurricane come through, didn't have power right away, but were able to turn on some. So you cannot go down this road, but that's exactly what they want to do. And it's really weakening Western society, Western values. But underlying a lot of that is the CCP. You know, those people are there, they're elites, but you know, Xi is really kind of the puppet behind the curtain on a lot of this stuff. So very, very problematic, I think, in the direction they want to go. And what I've said in Florida is that type of stuff coming out of Davos, those policies are dead on arrival in the state of Florida.
So Martin, to To put it in a nutshell, to many this sounds like the voice of reason, and the other side sounds like the voice of insanity, right?
Yes.
Depending on what side you want to be on. Exactly. We're not climbing on a soapbox. No. Let's just make that clear again. The interesting thing is some of these things are so ridiculous, like banning gas stoves for the sake of the environment. It is so pathetic that anybody should see it. And you wonder, how can people actually be that stupid?
Yeah. Well, I just have to put another one in here. They want to make the dosage of anesthesia less because that is also now committing to greenhouse gases.
So rather have some pain.
Pain.
Take some pain so that you don't have to have greenhouse gases.
Stop complaining, but we want to get this tooth out.
Yeah, after all, in the Middle Ages, we just yanked it out, so you better grin and bear it. So why would they do something that obviously makes them look ridiculous in the eyes of some? It's a game. Mm-hmm. It's an agenda. And I'm wondering if they're sitting and planning, what can we irritate the people with next?
You see, I was thinking about this because the problem is I am sure that a lot of people that are part of this game don't even know they're part of it.
Probably. They're playing it so well that many don't know.
They don't know. And you must remember, who sits behind on top of all this nonsense is Satan himself.
Satan himself and his cronies, the Jesuits, and all of those, and the Knights of Malta. So we have this conflict. And so you'll have the ultra-liberal side doing its thing, and then you'll have the conservatives doing the contrary. And another great player in this game is, of course, Disney.
Oh, yes.
Now, we must remember that Disney was founded by Walt Disney. That's why it's called Disney. And he was a 33-degree Freemason.
Yeah.
And I think he's somewhere on ice because he wants to be resurrected when the technology is available. I think he's going to stay on ice for a while and then maybe another 1,000 years or so.
Yes. Then there will be a resurrection.
Then there will be a resurrection. But they had an agenda.
Oh.
And if you look at the subliminals in Disney, some of them are horrendous. They have everything from subliminal debauchery to pedophilia. Everything is in there, but it's so well hidden. So now the New York Post said that Disney has a new sheriff in town. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis boasts. He's going to take care of them. He's going to sort them out. They're going to toe the line. We're no longer going to tolerate this wokeness.
Yeah.
This is obviously now going to be controlled by the state of Florida. So Disney World is in Florida, and Disneyland is in California. And then, of course, you have some other Disney Worlds in the other parts of the world as well. So we're not going to allow them to self-govern.
Yeah, because that's one thing about Disneyland in Florida. It was making its own government and own rules and system.
That's how powerful they are. So that's what DeSantis said at the press conference in Oscola on Wednesday. So there's a new sheriff in town, and that's just the way it's going to be. We're going to take these guys and sort them out. That's basically what he's saying. And the people are cheering, right? So this is interesting. And then it says, has targeted Disney for months after the company executive publicly bashed the state's passage of the Republican-backed Don't Say Gay law. And if you look at it, Martin, there you had Disney. He was a 33-degree Freemason. So these people are heavily into the Masonic agenda.
Yes.
Ordo ab cao, to create order out of chaos. And then on the other side, on the conservative side, you also have the Freemasons. Mm-hmm. And some of them are Skull and Bones members, as we mentioned. And there's been a lot of talk on the internet, where does Ron DeSantis fit in? And here's an article in The Capitalist. Is Ron DeSantis a member of Skull and Bones? Is he anti-vax? Is Florida a low-vax state? So here are just some of the questions. So the capitalist confirmed through a well-placed source that DeSantis was not in Skull and Bones. But they're just speculating, right?
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
Some say it belongs to Catholic societies. Others say it belongs to other societies. So there will be those that shout, conspiracy, conspiracy. But, you know, if they are in this level of government, they're probably associated somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
All right, so the source was likely referring to DeSantis' membership in Yale St. Elmo Society, which Wikipedia describes as an open secret society. So he's part of secret societies.
Yes, and that St. Elmo Society is also linked to some other society that has a Maltese cross.
They're all linked there, and they are often members of more than one society in different echelons, where 8 men and 8 women are selected each year based on scholastic standing, his or her seriousness of purpose, maturity, individuality, other achievements at the university. DeSantis' name is even listed on the Wikipedia page under notable members section. So his membership with St. Elmo's isn't exactly a big secret. So he belongs to secret societies.
Yes, but what is interesting is after this article came out, if you try and search for his name now on that Wikipedia page in the notable section, there's nothing there. And there's quite a few people that's outraged because of that. And there are videos that you're going to see that they actually did.
So they're trying.
They can verify it.
I think they're trying to create a Mr. Clean image, right?
Now, my problem is if this was so, say, for instance, because you get a lot of people can change, can't they? And we always give people the benefit of the doubt. But if it was so, okay, like for instance, let's take William Miller. He was a Freemason.
Yes.
But he resigned from Freemasonry before.
Because he realized something.
Yes. And you've got the proof of that shown. So instead of removing the name from Wikipedia, why not just defend it?
Correct. So now it's interesting that if you mention William Miller, he was a Freemason and he resigned from that organization. And Joseph Smith, the prophet of the Mormons, he did exactly the opposite. He boasted about he being inaugurated into the highest degrees of Freemasonry. So you have all of these interesting things. But nevertheless, Martin, the universities, these things are often associated with universities. Mm-hmm. So the universities in days of old were extensions of the church.
Yes.
So they were actually theological seminaries in a sense. Mm. Then they became institutes of learning. And when the Jesuits tried to destroy the Protestant Reformation, with which they have been very successful, then they started this program of learning against learning. Mm-hmm. And they infiltrated all the universities of the world. So in a sense, the Jesuit agenda controls virtually all universities.
Yes, and school curriculum as well.
Everything. And there you have this learning against learning, and it excludes scripture.
Yeah.
You cannot allow a divine foot in the door.
Yeah, except when you get to Georgetown. Then you have to study the Jesuit way of the Bible.
And Georgetown, of course, is the think tank for the elite in American government. If you want to get somewhere in government, it will be good to go to Georgetown and be educated by the enemies of God and man, the Jesuits.
Well, even the medical leaders, if you want to be there telling everybody what to wear and what to do, like Fauci.
Like Uncle Fauci. Mm. I'm glad he's retired. I wonder who his Jesuit replacement is going to be, just for interest's sake. But nevertheless, so at these institutes of learning, They initiate you into the process. And it is really so. They look at those people that can be of benefit to the cause. And they draw them in. And even when I was at university, I was invited to attend certain societies. But I was such a square peg in a round hole, I just never actually did fit in. And so I never ever, you know, joined any of those societies, fortunately. But I got so annoyed when I was at the university, because there's some young upstart comes along, and he just passes you by and gets promoted to the highest position, and he's done virtually nothing to actually say why would this be, and I got so annoyed because it never happened to me. And so I once went to the leadership and I asked them, excuse me, I just don't understand. Why does this person who has just recently become associated with the department and has just received his PhD, why is he now already a professor? He doesn't even have any postgraduate students. What's going on here? Is there anything that I'm missing? And why am I still stuck where I'm stuck? And they said to me, well, there's no position available in your direction at the moment, so yeah. Sorry. So I got annoyed. And then I got an offer at another university, a big university in South Africa, to come and help there. And I said, well, what position? And of course, they had to up me one. Yeah. And so I went back to my university and said, so you say there's no possibility of anything like this, or even though these other people that belong to these societies just get there? And he said, none whatsoever. And I said, here's my resignation, thank you. I said, what happened? So now I got an offer from another university. Within one day, I was promoted.
Job opening.
Job opening. It suddenly just appeared out of the sky. So if you don't belong to these societies, you have to claw your way to the top if you want to get anywhere in this world. But anyway, so was he a member? Is he not a member? I don't know.
And it doesn't matter. Let's see where it leads.
So, you know, Martin, in politics, you have the black and you have the white and you have the gray area. And you have some politicians that seem to jump from one fence to the other. And Lindsey Graham is one of them. And there are some people that are fed up with him and saying he's supporting the woke agenda, or not the woke agenda necessarily, but the Biden agenda and even the communist agenda. And others are saying otherwise. And some of them are for some of the actions and against some of the actions. So the whole debate is being stirred, right? Mm-hmm. Constantly. We're observers, right? Yeah. We're watching.
We're almost in World War I type battle conditions in the East. It's impossible, in my view, to dislodge the Russians by the Ukrainians unless they have tanks. We also believe that longer range rockets will help stop the counteroffensive that is building in the East. The goal is to dislodge the Russians from Ukraine by helping the Ukrainian military in that endeavor, give them the weapons they need to beat the Russians on the battlefield. How many times have you heard, we like Trump policies, but we want somebody new? There are no Trump policies without Donald Trump. I was there. We live in a dangerous world right now. The good news for the Republican Party, there are many, many talented people for years to come. But there is only one Donald Trump.
Joe Biden's weakness and incompetence has brought us to the brink of nuclear war. And now Biden is doing what he said 10 months ago would lead to World War III. He is sending in American tanks. It's far past the time for all parties involved to pursue a peaceful end to the war in Ukraine before this already horrific catastrophe spirals out of control and ends up leading, indeed, to World War III. And this would be a war like no other war, because this would be a nuclear war.
Martin, where's the world heading to? Isn't it heading towards peace, peace?
Yes, and sudden destruction.
And then sudden destruction. So at some point, there must be some form of peace, right? Which isn't really a peace, but which leads to destruction.
Yeah, because this whole war, I mean, if you... We can probably sit another session and just talk about the war. The logic that's in there.
Yes.
It's absolutely, there's no logic. They want to send these tanks. It takes 42 weeks for somebody to learn how to use the tank.
Yes, they're training them now in Poland, apparently, how to use the tanks.
So, and then eventually, like I've heard another person say, or some general or colonel, that for every hour that tank runs, you need a 2-hour maintenance on it.
Yes.
Are they going to send the troops that do the maintenance with this? Or are you just going to have a lot of broken tanks? Do you see?
And then you send 40 tanks. And then they ask the question, are 40 tanks going to make a massive difference? This is all a major, major activity. I've also heard it say that these unidentified flying or floating objects are a distraction. To focus the world on what is happening up here, and China is doing this and that and the other, while they are getting away with murder on the other side with their other little
games. How many times have they done that before?
Yes, and then they call a meeting at the White House to inform the press as to, you know, what color the balloon was and what kind of gas was in it, and the whole world is focused on this, while over here on the other side they are moving their things into position. Observers, right?
Yes. I was just scared one of the objects might be the International Space Station that they blew out of the sky.
Yes, that might be interesting.
That would be a catastrophe.
Well, they already blew the, the oil pipeline out of the water, so we might as well blow something out of the sky as well. But there's an agenda. And where is the agenda heading? So you have this argument that the Biden administration is fomenting war by supplying all of this weaponry, and Britain is wanting to supply airplanes, or are they not going to supply airplanes? And Donald Trump says, no, Russia, we should make a friend of Russia. We should work together with Russia. Then we would have world peace. So you have, you know,
peace and safety.
These ideologies. The pendulum eventually will have to swing in the direction of peace.
Yes.
But because it is a peace based on a false premise, it will lead to sudden destruction.
And once again, I think quite a while back we showed who has to be, like, let's say the father of the peace. That's where everything...
You have to have a father of the peace. Is it going to be Trump, or is it going to be DeSantis, or is it going to be Pence?
Maybe.
Or perhaps a lady.
Well, whoever it is, she'll be answering to the other father.
They are all subject to the man with the little white hat on his head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Pope Francis says sport is a metaphor for life. We're just dealing with all of the issues that are happening in the world. We're looking at the left, we're looking at the right, we're looking at the woke, we're looking at the war, we're looking at the distractions.
The tools that
the
they
tools
use.
The tools of distraction to keep people occupied and to keep the agenda in front of their eyes. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have sport, you're not only going to have sport. You're going to have woke in the sport. Are you going to wear LGBTQ T-shirts or not?
Yeah.
Are you going to bow the knee or are you not? Are you going to, you know, et cetera, et cetera? It has to be in the public eye.
You have to have, like we've always said, the King of the South pushing against the King of the North.
Right. No. So Pope Francis said that sports is a metaphor for life. What does the spirit of prophecy say?
I think
you should plow up the fields and plant potatoes, right? The sports fields. And, you know, that is such a shocker to the world.
It's a directly opposite of what the world is telling you about sports.
Yeah, so people look for a gray area.
Yeah.
And even within this church, they will largely be in the gray area and not on the side of what the Bible, you know, they rose up to play. Mm-hmm. They were performing the Gilgamesh epic, getting the ball into the hole or into the net, which is the victory of the sun god over his enemies, which is the victory of Lucifer over Christ. You know, people don't get that history. So the Holy Father, that's such a blasphemy. I struggle to read it. Told those present that when they travel for championships, they are called upon to bear witness to your bond with the Holy See. Isn't it interesting that all of these mega, mega sports companies largely belong to Knights of Malta and Catholic organizations?
Yes. Yeah.
It is a Catholic agenda. It is a Luciferian agenda. And, you know, even those that you sympathize with, like Djokovic, for example, I have great sympathy for his cause. And there are many, many things with that I would say, well done, sir. You stand for something. You know, let not your body be misused and dictated to by forces outside of your control. I stand with him on that cause. But then the other thing is they will always introduce the religious side as well.
That's correct. You see, not to bash anybody, any one of the people that we've shown and that we are going to show can make it right with the Lord. And they can probably, if they want to, play a big role in the end, giving the loud cry.
Yes, because once they understand the issue, they might be halfway there, and that would be an advantage. So here's a video that was put together by Remnant Video. Let's just have a look at the Djokovic and other issues.
Bill Gates was present in the stadium when Novak Djokovic won the Open. Behold the Christian guy who went up against the anti-Christians and won his freedom.
I want to congratulate everybody who are celebrating Christmas on the 7th of January. To all the Orthodox Christians, I wish them peace, love.
And what Novak Djokovic is doing right now is what the world desperately needs to see. Do you understand? I'm not citing him as someone who should lead our movement. I'm talking about the public figure that is presenting an example of how we end up getting out of this nightmare is Djokovic. Before I am an athlete, he says, I'm an Orthodox Christian.
This year has produced the worst God mockers in all of world history. We had DaBaby, who made a mockery of Jesus' death on the cross. Kendrick Lamar offended Christians all around the world when he turned up to Glastonbury wearing a diamond-encrusted crown of thorns.
So yeah, when the number one athlete, certainly tennis player in the world, comes out and says, I'm Christian first, that matters.
Harrison Butker is a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. A star player, he is to many living the dream. After training, Harrison changes, but not into what you'd expect. He puts on a cassock and serves at Latin Mass.
What is it you get out of the Latin Mass?
Well, number one, the reverence for the Eucharist. If you go to a Latin Mass, communion's received kneeling on the tongue. There's a strong understanding of the sanctuary. There's a strong understanding of the altar, and that it's a sacrifice going on. A lot of parishes and a lot of young people are starting to realize the beauty of the Latin Mass, that this is the foundation of the Catholic faith.
What the world desperately needs right now are heroes. We need people who will stand up for the faith. We need Christian heroes, people willing to stand up and fight.
Is that part of the pendulum swing movement?
I truly believe so.
So let the world go as bad as it possibly can, and then let's swing the pendulum back to Christian values, Christian norms. The world needs these heroes. Now, we've said this all along. Now, my heart goes out to them. My heart goes out to all of them. And I wish they could understand the conflict in the sense of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. And people are deceived.
The great sacrifice
of the cross, Martin, just contemplate the great sacrifice of the cross being reduced to a morsel of bread. Instead of the bread becoming a reminder of the great sacrifice of the cross, it becomes a means of salvation in itself. It's a horrendous distortion of a great truth. And people are trapped in it.
And they are, because they are sincere in what they do.
But they are so sincerely deceived.
Yes.
I wish the whole world could understand it.
Wake them up.
Yes, yes. But it's going to lead somewhere. It's going to lead to peace and then to destruction.
It is. And this is inside of the Catholic Church that we've just shown broadly. There's a big fight in the Catholic Church. Actually, King of the South inside there pushing against, because the liberal secularism is pushing against the more conservative side.
And this conflict is going to grow until the conservatives say, we have had enough, politically, religiously, all of them put together. So you must have this push from the left, and you must have the counter push from the right. And the Bible says who the eventual winner is going to be. So here's an interesting article from the BBC. The Kirk moderator joins Pope in historic South Sudan pilgrimage. Now, Kirk, of course, is church in the Scottish countries. The moderator of the Church of Scotland has described his historic pilgrimage with the Pope to South Sudan as a sign of Christian unity. This is the first time, Greenshield told BBC, since the Reformation, that's going back over 500 years, that the three very distinctive traditions have ever come together to do something like this. It's a sign of Christian unity. So does the Church of Scotland. That's Presbyterian, that's Calvinistic. Then you have the Church of England, the Anglicans, which is a Protestant movement that has returned back into the folds of Rome through the Oxford movement. And then you have the Pope himself. So, Martin, this is the great catastrophe, the great unity that is coming about in the churches that will eventually lead to the implementation of the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
And where does this Pope stand? Well, Pope and Protestant leaders denounce anti-gay laws. So they are fomenting on the one side.
Yeah.
And you have the conservative Catholics and the Latin Mass Catholics arguing on the other side. So Pope Francis and the leaders of Protestant churches in England and Scotland have denounced the criminalization of homosexuality. And his comments were backed by the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the Church of Scotland. So all together, they are pushing an agenda. We are watching them standing on their so-called soapboxes playing a game.
Yeah, this is like they're on purpose or purposefully agitating.
And stoking the fire. And then we go one step further with awokeness. Church of England votes to offer blessing to same-sex couples. Now, the Pope doesn't go so far as to say that the Catholic Church will do it. But he says we shouldn't have anti-gay laws. And the governments, the secular world, the judicial system must sanction gay marriages. That's how where he goes. So let's keep it out of the church, but do it over there. Martin, is it all right to do it over there and it's not all right to do it in the church? Or is it sin no matter which way you look at it?
It's okay. During the week, I can steal a little bit and do a little bit of this, but on Sabbath or during church, then I'm not doing any of that.
Rather call it Sunday, first of the week, day of the week. Otherwise, you make me nervous.
Yes, I mean.
All right. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell, said in a statement, "It has been a long road to get to this point. For the first time, the Church of England will publicly, unreservedly, and joyfully welcome same-sex couples in the church." Now, if you look at it, the way they voted, Martin, it's interesting. Because when it came to the leadership, the bishops, etc., they were almost unanimous, not quite, almost unanimous in saying, yay, let's do this. When it came to the clergy, there was a slight majority that said, yes, let's do this. When it became to the laity, it was even a smaller a group that said, let's do this. So the church is really divided. And all I can say to those that weren't happy with this decision, come out of her, my people.
That's it.
Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin.
Yeah.
And Martin, besides all that, we have the abortion debate, right? Mm-hmm. And you have the administration that's currently in power saying, we are for abortion. And then you have those that are against abortion. And there's this massive debate. Now, all of these debates, whether they take place in sport, whether they take place in the LGBTQ community, whether they take place on the abortion front, all of them are kept in front of the public view constantly. Fermenting, fermenting, fermenting. We must ask ourselves, why and where is it heading? Never forget that, because this is what it's really about.
That's it.
So let's have a look at that. The Catholic bishops demanded that the federal tax dollars should not fund abortion, and they said that it should. And then they decry how the champions of abortion are being honored and receive all the accolades, whereas the methods that they use are so horrendously grotesque. So let's just have a look at what's going on there.
Catholic bishops are demanding that federal tax dollars not fund abortions.
No, they are not all doing that. Nor is the Pope doing that.
They say, says Francis, this is a person who thinks very differently from us. True, but never mind. We have to look at people, at what they do. Really. And what did this creature do? Well, before it was legal, she came up with an apparatus, some sort of a suction apparatus, by which she was able to personally exterminate 10,000 babies in Italy before going on the warpath and becoming a champion of legal abortion in Italy and legal divorce and drugs and everything else. She's a sweetheart. So what's Francis doing meeting with her? What's he doing that for?
Here to present the Fred Cuny Award to Emma Bonino is International Crisis Group's co-founder, George Soros.
So there you have it. Soros, Francis, pro-aborts, big and small. And you're going to blame Joe Biden for thinking maybe the Pope's not really all that pro-life. After all, he said that thing about hiring a hitman, remember? You're going to blame Joe Rogan and Donald Trump for going soft on the gay thing all of a sudden, right? When the Pope himself has gone soft on that and is going softer on it every day.
So, Martin, there must be a serious agenda in all of this. And the way that we just saw them choosing sides. You definitely take a soapbox and you climb onto it and you choose sides. But you miss the point as to why are they doing this and where is it heading.
Yeah.
They will choose sides and eventually it'll almost come, if it doesn't come, to a point of civil war. And then eventually they will say, so far and no further, and introduce draconian laws to stop all of the so-called wokeness. And within those laws, you will have other laws which are hidden in there, which will lead to destruction. Now, how far did this go? Here's an article in News. Lawmakers wore pins to the SOTO, that's the State of the Union address, to show support for several causes. And they wore pro-abortion pins. And it's interesting that the O was in the form of a heart, basically saying, we love abortion.
I mean,
we're in biblical times here. We are in times where Moloch is being uplifted before the world.
So, now,
by saying that, I'm climbing on a soapbox.
Right? Look,
I mustn't. I must stand back.
Yes, but it doesn't mean that we acknowledge that any of this is good. What's going on in your head if you love abortions?
There must be something wrong. Yes, there's something wrong. But it's supposed to be like that because you're supposed to be so horrified that eventually you will rejoice when the pendulum swings.
Exactly. That's the mean. So how do you have to look at this? You have to look at this the way that God would look at it.
Yes.
With sorrow in his heart that these people are so far lost.
But Martin, are the other people not equally as far lost?
That's true.
That's the very sad part of it. So what is going to save them in the end? The three angels' messages must be proclaimed to open their eyes. And then if they can embrace the truth, they can take a stand and come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of the sin, whether it is the sin on the one side or the sin on the other side. Well, Martin, the rain is coming down again. It hasn't abated, right?
No, we're still sitting with it.
We've had more rain in the last 14 days than we normally receive in an entire year.
It's actually a week.
In a week, yes.
7 days.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts wore a pin with the word abortion written in capital letters. I'm wearing my abortion pin from so-and-so tonight's State of the Union address, Markey wrote on Twitter. Abortion is essential health care, and we need to codify this right. This is to bring it to the public attention, to foment the debate. Another article in this line, Christian charity worker faces potential jail time, fine, after speaking about leaving the LGBT lifestyle. So, Martin, you're not allowed to leave that lifestyle. You're not allowed to talk about it.
They criminalize if you actually want to speak and tell anybody else that you've left it.
Yes.
But you can go to schools and tell people to join it.
That's correct. And in Britain and in other countries, it's illegal to do any what they call proselytizing.
Yeah.
In other words, you're not allowed to convince people that their lifestyles are wrong. Hmm. So it's rather safe to stay in Sodom rather than to leave. So Matthew Gretsch, 33, faces potential fines and imprisonment for allegedly falling afoul of his country's ban on conversion practices. When he explained to a local media outlet last year how he left homosexuality behind because he came to believe it was wrong. He was surprised when police later called him earlier on a Sunday morning and ultimately served him with a prosecution order summoning him to court. He said that after LGBT activists with ties to the Maltese government and the Malta gay rights movement reported him to the police for the interview, he now faces up to €5,000 in fines or up to 5 months in prison if convicted of violating Article 3 of Malta's Affirmation of Sexual Orientation, Gender Expression Act, which makes it unlawful for any person to advertise conversion practices. Now, it's very fitting that this should be in Malta.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. Huh?
Where the Knights of Malta have their seat. Well, you know, all of them.
What about that sermon that you did, or the whole series of Creed to Malta?
Creed to Malta.
Maybe it's a good idea if everybody can go and rewatch that series. I'll also put it in the description again.
You'll put the link in?
Yes. Come to think of it, Little Light Studios, also again, well, we always talk about them, but they do such great work. They did a wonderful documentary on sports. So I'll put that in the description as well. Then people can go and look at it because we were speaking about
sports.
That
one was exceptionally well done. I take my hats off to those people that are doing a great job.
You see, I just want to mention, they mentioned there how sport is actually a religion.
It is a religion.
It is.
And where it leads to, and the passions that it creates, and they show it very, very well. People really go and look at that Little Light Studio production. It is excellent. So interestingly, Martin, now the debate is so heated that anybody in the Catholic circles that attends the Latin Mass or prays the Rosary is considered anti-liberal, etc.
Yeah,
like a witch hunt.
They're also labeled extremists now. Not that we are promoting it, but this is just showing, again, this secular King of the South movement.
Now, Martin, think about it. What is it creating? If there are Protestants that think that this whole movement is wrong, and here you have conservative Catholics that think that this whole movement is wrong, doesn't it create a bond of sympathy between the two?
Precisely. Like you've got the bond of sympathy now between those three churches towards the woke side. You are agitating the conservative Catholics and the others.
And then what will they do? They will reach across the Gulf, they will take the hand of Rome, and they will march together, and they will implement the Mark of the Beast.
Yes.
So let's have a look at this little interesting interlude.
Atlantic stirring outrage as it argues the Catholic Rosary. The rosary is now a symbol of extremism. The article includes this animated rosary shaped by bullet holes, arguing today's Catholics are part of a, quote, growing contingent of Christian nationalism. Fox and Friends Weekend co-host Rachel Campos Duffy has a rosary or two in her purse. My mom did. I've got one on my desk. Rachel, are they trying to cancel the rosary?
Well, who knew that you and I were both right-wing extremists for having a rosary? And it seems funny, but it's actually not. The first thing that authoritarians try to do, Steve, is to delegitimize and ban religion because it is an existential threat against the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you have here, and I think what they're trying to do, and we're seeing more articles like this. This seems comical, but we're seeing more and more articles trying to associate people who are faithful, especially those who adhere to, you know, more orthodox or traditional interpretations of faith, as somehow being right-wing extremists, mm-hmm. white nationalists, fringe. And I think we ought to be very careful of that. First of all, it shows a deep ignorance. You're a Catholic, Steve. I am. This imagery of the spiritual battle that we're in, as the rosary and prayer as a weapon mm-hmm. in this spiritual battle, as sacramentals, whether they're holy water or whatnot, against the devil. These are things we believe in,
right.
And we use that imagery because we believe we're fighting something very evil. So it shows ignorance, but it's also very interesting that they're trying to associate it with violence, when in fact, if you look at the aftermath of Roe versus Wade, what kind of, you know, deep projection this article is involved in. It was the other side, the pro-abortion side, that was, you know, attacking churches, defaming Catholics, going in front of their churches and doing all kinds of obscene things.
So they are keeping it very well in front of the public eye, creating the bond of sympathy. and slowly turning the mindsets of the conservatives against the woke agenda, even within the Catholic Church, where they're sitting at the same table, right? So you have the Vatican to investigate a diocese that supports traditional mass in France.
So it's not just in the U.S., it's worldwide.
It's worldwide. So a communique from the Apostolic Nunciature of France, published by the diocese on its webpage, states that the apostolic visitation is by mandate of Pope Francis and comes after a certain number of difficulties encountered in the diocese. So following the promulgation of Traditionis Custodis, Pope Francis, in his motto pro priori, restricting the traditional Latin Mass or Tridentine Mass, Bishop Ray highlighted the concerns of several priests and communities in his diocese. This is coming a long time. Yeah. And it was even, years ago, there was a Bishop Lefebvre who was for the Latin Mass, and they ostracized him. And they've been playing this game for a long time.
It's just picking up a little bit of steam now.
Here's a question, Martin. Yeah. With whom, with which side of Catholicism will conservative Protestantism create a bond of union? With the liberal side or with the conservative side?
With the conservative side, with the traditionalists.
All right. If that is the case, it is a brilliant move of strategy by Satan. With which side was the Reformation in the time of Luther in confrontation?
With exactly that side, the traditional side.
So with the traditional side, with the Council of Trent side, those were the warring factions. Today, the conservative Protestants will unite with the conservative Catholics, the very ones who stand by the Council of Trent and decry Vatican II. Those are the ones they will identify with. And those are the ones that they will create a bond of union with. And those are the ones where they will stand together and say, let's implement Christian norms and standards as brothers and sisters in unity.
Exactly.
The Reformation will have been totally destroyed.
Yes, 100%. The Christian nationalist movement includes this traditional Catholics and all the conservative Christians.
Now let's make people even more mad. So let's get the FBI involved. And let the FBI start targeting Catholics who attend the Latin Mass. Now, that'll get even the Protestants riled up, right?
For sure.
So former FBI special agent and federal whistleblower Kyle Serafin reportedly obtained a leaked FBI document that outlines a plan to spy on a segment of one of America's biggest religious denominations. The FBI's Richmond Division would like to protect Virginians from the threat of white supremacy, which it believes has found a home within Catholics who prefer the Latin Mass. So, fomenting the bond of union, the churches coming together, and they will create laws. So, it's always good to see how they think.
Yes.
So, let's get the remnant video to tell us how they think about these things.
Thousands of warriors of Mary met in the Basilica of St. Vincent de Paul in Poland to pray the rosary, to attend Mass, to consecrate themselves to the same holy war that we're fighting on this side of the Atlantic. Look at this, 8,000 men singing a battle song that dates back to the 12th century. Mother of God, they sing. From your Son, our Lord, chosen Mother Mary, win over for us, send to us, Son of God, for the sake of your Baptist, hear our voices, hear the prayers that we offer, give us what we ask for, Kyrie eleison. It's telling the world, you cannot kill Christianity. So we say to Francis the Globalist,
Bring it on, Francis. Take away our Latin Mass. We've been there before. We know what to do. We did it once before. We'll do it again. Your persecution is only forcing us to remember. Forcing us to remember the promises of our baptism that we had set aside for a time. To remember what we have lost. And to see in how much you hate the old faith, how much we love it, and how much we must never, ever forget it, how much we desperately need to reclaim it as our birthright, as followers of Jesus Christ. These globalists, including the Pope, are making us friends. They are making us Christian again. They're waking us up. God is using them to turn us back to Him. To turn us back into the Christian soldiers of Jesus Christ that our fathers were. And if that means martyrdom for us, well then, we who are about to die salute you.
Martin, I really feel sorry for them. Because they're going back to the traditions. They're standing there with a rosary. I come from the Catholic tradition. 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father. 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father. 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father.
Is the rosary to help you count?
The rosary has the beads so that you say the 10. So there'll be 10 beads, which are the one. Then there's a gap, and then there's a bead, which is the Our Father, and then there's the 10 beads. And then you go down to the creed and you end up with the cross, and then you've set the whole thing. Do not be like the pagans, says the Bible, to repeat over and over and over again. And in any case, Mary is asleep. She cannot help you. This is paganism revisited. It is Isis worship. And it's very, very sad. But this is the kind of religion that will link up with Protestantism, thereby kicking sand into the face of Jesus Christ again and destroying the last vestige of Protestantism. If God didn't have a remnant that holds to the testimony of Jesus and keeps the commandments of God, there would be no one left to represent him on this earth.
That's true.
And so people are lamenting the loss of religion. But what religion are they lamenting? A false religion based on a false premise. So here's Market Watch from January 2023. Rise in middle-aged white deaths of despair may be fueled by loss of religion. New research paper argues. The working paper from Tyler Giles of Wellesley College, Daniel Hungerman of the University of Notre Dame, and Tama Ostrom from the Ohio State University looked at the relationship between religiosity and the mortality from deaths of despair. So what is driving people to the point of despair? The researchers looked at the repeal of blue laws in particular. Martin, this is getting very interesting.
It's getting very serious as well.
Blue laws limited commerce typically on a Sunday mornings. These laws have been shown to be strongly related to religious practice, creating discrete changes in incentives to attend religious services that are plausibly unrelated to other diverse religiosity, they said. The repeal of blue laws had a 5 to 10 percentage point impact on weekly attendance of religious services, and increased the rate of deaths of despair by 2 deaths per 100,000 people, they found. Now, I think they are dragging many of these statistics in by the hair.
Yeah.
But they are trying to show something.
They're putting it out in the public eye.
Yes. They want people to know we need to return to that old-time religion.
You know what? Unfortunately, we do have to go back to a primitive godliness.
We do, but the right one, yes. Not the false one. Ah, this is so... How serious is it that we get the three angels' messages out?
It is life and death at this stage. Everlasting life and everlasting death.
I feel so helpless. I wish the whole world could hear it. How are we going to just get people riled up to start seeing where we are? El Tiempo, January 16, 2023. The Ten Commandments of God to stay away from sin. Yeah, they're pushing an agenda. Let's get back.
Yes.
But look at what they're doing. For the Catholic religion, the Ten Commandments are based on this dogma. According to the Old Testament in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, God gave his Decalogue to Moses on Mount Sinai to help his chosen people to fulfill the divine law. And then they give you a law which is anything but the law in the Bible. It's the Catholic one.
Yeah.
The first one, you will love God above all things. It's a generic God. Mm. It's not the God that says, I'm the one that took you out of Egypt. It's not Yahweh. It's a generic God. It's a universal deity. It is an ecumenical one. The very first commandment that they have breaks the first commandment. Yeah. You shall have no other gods besides the one that took you out of Egypt. Yeah. Right?
Correct.
Then the second one is you shall not take God's name in vain. Where's the second commandment? Thou shalt not make for yourself an image. Thou shalt not bow down to it.
Gone.
Where's it? Gone. Why? Because they love imagery, because you must have all gods besides Yahweh.
That's it, and you can embrace so much more, so many more religions into it.
So here's a total annihilation of the Word of God. This is the third commandment and not the second one. You will sanctify the holy days. Excuse me. If you look it up in the Catholic Catechism, it says that the church commands you to keep Sunday holy and other holidays, holy days as they specify. Here they've summarized it exactly according to the Catholic stature. You will sanctify the holy days prescribed by the church. Now it's interesting, before you can get back to that, you first have to remove all of those holy days. Mm. And bring in all the other days that have nothing to do with it. In our country, for example, I'm sad to say I can identify with none, or let's say virtually none, of our so-called holy days. They are meaningless to me. And in the past, there were all the religious ones like Easter and Christmas and all of these things. And in a sense, you almost long for those days, but they're just as pagan as the ones that we keep now.
Exactly.
So all of these holy days that were prescribed by the church are pagan.
That's it. So there's actually only one holy day still left.
Correct.
And that's the seventh-day Sabbath.
And then they bring you the fourth commandment, which is actually the fifth one, which says you will honor your father and your mother. They remove the promise, of course. And in the United Nations, they turn it around because child right is higher than parental right.
Yeah.
So that commandment is gone. Thou shalt not kill. Well, abortion kills that one. And you will not commit impure acts. But if you define bestiality and all of the other movements that we discussed today as not impure acts, then what does this mean, Martin?
Exactly.
It means nothing. You shall not steal, unless, of course, you have legitimized stealing.
Yeah, if you changed the definition of what it means to steal.
Yes, like Thomas Aquinas already said, it's not a crime to steal, and it's not breaking the commandments. If you have need,
that's it.
I don't think Jesus would have said that to the widow who threw in the two mites. Did she now have the right to go and steal because she only had two mites? You will not give false testimony or lie. Well, Martin, if they are our example, then I don't know where that commandment is. And you will not consent to impure thoughts or desires. That is supposed to be the law of covetousness, which they, of course, divided into two and made it the tenth one as well to make up for the lack of the one that's missing over there, the second commandment. you shall not covet other people's goods. Unless, of course, you're Thomas Aquinas and his cronies, then whatever goes, goes if you have need of it. Oh, I'll take this television. Oh, I'll take that one too because my friend has need of it. So, Martin, this is a law which is totally contrary to God's law, dressed up to look like God's law.
You see, if you put this law out there to conservative non-Catholics, they'll agree. Yes.
Perfect. Let's go with it. Let's run with it. This is where we're heading.
Yeah.
This is the morality that they want. So here is another article which says, give me that old-time religion. Did it protect Americans from death of despair? By the year 2070, as few as one-third of all Americans could be Christians, according to the Pew Research Center projections. Nuns. People without an allegiance to a religious faith could be as many as 52%. The de-Christianization of society is hard to assess and harder to predict. But we can ask, is this good news or bad news? According to a research paper released last week by the National Bureau of Economic Research, a prominent think tank in Cambridge, Massachusetts, it's bad news. It is, in fact, literally deadly. What proof have they to put on the table? In an original and thought-provoking use of statistics, the researchers examined the deaths of despair after American states repealed their blue laws. These were laws which banned commerce on Sundays so that people could observe Sabbath by attending church services and spending more time with their families. They're talking about that same research paper we spoke about just now, but they're just spelling it out more.
Direct.
We need Sunday laws. Yeah. We need to go back to that old-time religion. Are we at the end of days?
Definitely.
You think so?
The Bible says so.
Bible says so. When they make void thy law, then it is time to act. They have made void thy law. It is time for thee to act. Talking to God, Lord.
Yeah.
Martin?
It's time for us to start acting.
It's time for us to get onto a soapbox. Not a woke soapbox, nor any of the other soapboxes. I want to climb onto a very high three angels broadcasting soapbox.
Let's say it's a box. Let's not call it. The others are soapboxes. We'll get on the box.
One box. Right. I think we need to pray about this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is time for thee to act, for they have made void thy law. This is our prayer too. But Lord, if it were possible, all of those priests and all of that laity that didn't want to go along with those votes, they are your children sitting in the Babylonian fallen churches. They can see that their churches have fallen. They can see where their ideologies are heading. Bring them out, Lord. Bring them out so that they may keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.